This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by EQ Bank, banking simplified. Visit our site for a link, podcasts.moolala.ca. Retirement planning can easily keep you up at night. You might have like tons of questions swirling through your mind just as your head hits the pillow. For instance, how much do I need to save? How long do I need to work? Personal finance writer David Ashton wrote a book that will address many, if not all, of these questions. It's called The Sleep Easy Retirement Guide, Answers to the 12 Biggest Financial Questions That Keep You Up at Night. He's here now to take us through some of the questions and, more importantly, the answers. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
Now, how did you come up with these 12?
Well, I kind of in the process of thinking through my own retirement, these were the kind of questions that I had to think through for myself. So it's kind of like these were things that were kind of floating around in my mind,
right.
And I was turning them over in my mind. And as part of my journalism, I was researching the answers. So this was a process that I went through for myself.
And you've been writing for Money Sense for a very long time.
I have, yes.
And so I'm sure people like corner you at dinner parties and want to ask you all these questions. So now it's very efficient. You go, I'm not answering your question. Read my book. Go buy my book. I'm going to go through a couple. We don't have time to go through them all. But the question of the nest egg is very, very... It's controversial because there's so many methods, and it is so based on the assumptions you make on how much you spend.
True.
The math is very simple.
True.
How do you determine what that retirement income needs to be? Because it all boils down to that. If you want to have $1 million a year, what your nest egg needs to be very different than if you need $30,000 a year.
That's right. So these are all... variables, if you will, in planning. So, you know, some people have the idea that, you know, they need, you know, thousands of dollars a year, and they're going to keep working till they get enough to give them X thousand dollars a year. But it's actually, you know, it's a very adjustable thing. It's if you have lots of money, you can plan for a nicer retirement. You can plan to spend more per year. You can maybe retire earlier. If you don't have quite as much money, maybe you need to economize a little bit more. Still, you should still be able to achieve your retirement dreams, but just a little bit more on a budget.
Mm.
And maybe you can't retire quite as early. So it's a way of, you know, basically you kind of adjust your goals with what your means are.
We're talking more about this particular aspect more than we were even a decade ago, and that is... your question about how do I ensure I get good care late in life if I need it? That is the reality. So sure, the actuarial tables are saying we're going to live longer, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to live longer fully functioning physically and mentally in our home.
True.
So how do you work through those assumptions so you've got that backstop should you need it?
Well, that's a good point. That's a big uncertainty in terms of a financial issue that could come up late in life. In some situations, I mean, you know, you could end up dying very, very suddenly, and then, you know, there isn't an issue of having care. In other cases, you might need care at a high level for a long period of time.
Yeah.
So it is a complicated issue. One of the things that, you know, definitely helps, this is one of the areas where having... equity in a paid-for home comes in really handy. So, you know, normally you don't factor in the equity in your home and in figuring out, you know, as part of your nest egg and figuring out your retirement. But it kind of helps in terms of having a backup plan.
Yeah.
If you have high care costs late in life, or you run short of money late in life, and then you can tap the equity in your home to help out. So often it comes in the form, if you have to move into a retirement home or a long-term care facility, that's often a good time to sell your home. You realize some of the equity it can help pay for the cost of
and hope your spouse is on the same page, because it's a hard dynamic when one is fully functioning and engaged in the world and the other needs full-on dementia care.
And it's not always an easy or simple solution. As you point out, it could be a situation where one spouse is healthy and wants to stay in the home, the other needs long-term care. So there are complicated situations. Mm. It does at least help that the government has your back to a certain extent, because the long-term care facilities are set up in Canada so that they really are available to everybody. So
if you can get a spot.
Yeah, there's problems with it, like a lot of the rest of the healthcare system, in terms of and there's backlogs and things to get into it.
But yeah,
and there's a copay involved. It's a joint shared financial facility. But the idea is they don't turn anybody away for financial.
Another question is, how can I save my retirement if my finances get off track? And listen, there is illness, there is divorce, there is job loss. There's a lot of things. So what are some of the tips that you talk about in that chapter to course correct?
Well, I mean, one of the things that it's nice to have as part of your financial planning, it's nice to have a backup plan. So that's the idea that, and it may be several things. For many people, it's just the equity in their house. So it's something that they can turn to if the rest of their plan kind of falls short. And then, if they never need the equity in your house, well, then that's just something you get to enjoy forever. And when you pass on, you pass on the equity and to your kids. So that's one thing. The other thing is to look at all aspects of the plan. If things start to, if the assumptions don't start to pan out and things get stressed. One of the things is that we often make assumptions about how much we're going to spend in retirement, which maybe they might be appropriate if everything's working out. But often if we really set our mind to it, we can achieve our retirement dreams with less income if we're creative and flexible and really kind of start to think through carefully just what our budget is and what our priorities are.
One of the other things that we're starting to see culturally is the generational differences about expectations.
Yes.
So a baby boomer lived in a world in which they could work for their career, retire at 55, 60, and then literally not work at all until the time they passed. I'm a Gen Xer, not an expectation my generation has. We think we will work in some capacity, either because we have to or because we want to, well into our 70s and maybe even 80s. How do you factor that into people's thinking, knowing that there are very different expectations? And I know I say generational, it's not exclusively generational, but it's certainly more common for a Gen Xer to have that outlook than it would be for a baby boomer.
Well, I think it's a good idea to keep an open mind when you're a long ways from retirement about what you're going to want to do when you're in your 60s and early 70s. I think it helps when you're planning early not to be too, make some heroic assumption that you're going to work at a really high-paying job until you're like 75.
Canada's only 85-year-old roofer.
So it makes sense not to count on that early on. But I mean, the fact of the matter is, like the whole world of work is really opening up for people in their 60s and even in their early 70s. And there's a lot more options there than there were in the past. And what the right option is for you is really depends on your situation. There's lots of people that have loads of money and they could afford to retire at some early age but they like what they're doing and it's they like being engaged socially and getting some money too. And so, they keep working because they want to keep working. So, and other people, necessity is more of a driver. So it's all about finding the right combination of money and fulfillment and engagement.
David, thank you very much for this and congrats on your book.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for having me on your program.
David Ashton is the author of The Sleep Easy Retirement Guide, Answers to the 12 Biggest Financial Questions That Keep You Up at Night.